Coming off a day when stock indices were down more than 2% in the U.S., today is also shaping up as a rocky one. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Stock markets in Asia hit the skids again today. The Nikkei in Tokyo fell 3%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.5%. The CSI 300 index for the Shanghai market fell more than 4.5%. Some of this is a key reading on factory activity in China that hit its lowest point since 2009. Andrew Batson is China Research Director at Gavakal Dragonomics in Shanghai.
The housing market has slowed down a lot. Housing construction is barely growing at all. And that's a huge source of demand for a lot of Chinese manufacturers. So they're seeing their business fall off. And because these manufacturers are seeing their business not growing, they don't need to expand. They don't need to invest in new equipment. And so all of the other companies who sell to those manufacturers are also seeing their business fall off.
Let's switch live from Shanghai to London now with Brenda Kelly, head analyst at London Capital Group. Ms. Kelly, morning to you.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
So it's China, but there's a lot more to persuade people that today is the day to take some risk off the table. What do you have there? I think of Greece. There's a general election's been called?
Well, there's a snap election been called next month, and we have Tsipras, who's resigned last night, on a little bit of pressure from the government. And of course, there's a setup now for the opposition. Now, whether or not this will have any real systemic difference to the markets is the jury is out on. But ultimately, I think Greece has been very much priced in. But I think if you look elsewhere and look to bigger economies like China, and you see geopolitical concerns starting to rear their heads, the likes of Ukraine and, of course, Korea as well, there does seem to be a lot of worries that might concern investors. But the biggest worry, really, for investors, particularly for equities, is the deflationary aspect of what's happening with the devaluation of the yuan currency and the fact that that's having ripple effects throughout the emerging markets. This ultimately, though, in some respects, could actually prevent the Federal Reserve from hiking interest rates next month. And I think the probability of that has been reduced to around 20%, and that's down from around 55% a couple of weeks ago. So the jury's out again on whether we'll see that happening. But there are a lot of things that might worry investors at the moment, and China is probably the biggest bogey there with the weak market sentiment, with the recovery losing momentum. But mm-hmm. We could obviously expect to see some policy easing, including maybe another policy rate cut or an RRR cut in the coming weeks, which should support the markets.
Should support the market. Brenda Kelly, who's at London Capital Group, I want to thank you for this. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now let's check the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 1%. The Dow fell more than 2% Thursday. The Dow future this morning is down 0.33%. The Nasdaq future down 0.4%. The S&P future down 0.2%. HBO has begun a six-part miniseries about a long-running movement in America, Fair Housing, How Best to Integrate Communities and Stop Discrimination When It Comes to Where People Live. The show's called Show Me a Hero, and it's a dramatization of what happened in Yonkers, just up from New York City, when a federal judge in the 1980s ordered Yonkers to put in low-income housing, as the law required, provoking ferocious opposition. The showrunner for Show Me a Hero is the guy who did The Wire about Baltimore and Tremé about New Orleans, David Simon, whom I reached at his office in Baltimore. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let me try this out on you. You are, in addition to everything else, I would say a designer who figures out engaging ways to explore public policy issues. Is that fair for me to describe you like that?
It's okay with me, because the other description I would come up with is a dysfunctional television producer, which, you know, HBO is sort of a big tent. Maybe in some sense I'm subsidized by things like Game of Thrones or The Sopranos and, you know, the things that are the big ticket items. I sort of add to the sense of what that network is, and maybe that's why they've kept me around. But, you know, on Monday mornings when the numbers come in, I'm always a little bit amazed that I still have a gig.
As you say, the goal could be to have a big audience number, but the goal could also be to somehow influence the national discussion on big issues such as affordable housing in America.
Yeah, or hypersegregation or the inability to govern. Everyone wants to say that the Yonkers case, which is what this miniseries was about social engineering by some activist judge. But the truth is, we live apart, poor and rich, and we live apart by race as a matter of design, as a matter of government fiat going back to the 1930s. So not only is it hard to find affordable housing for people who don't have the means, God forbid, they cross some sort of racial or class boundary geographically, and all hell breaks loose.
Now, I've only seen one in two of six parts so far. A lot of those townspeople depicted on the show, up in arms about affordable housing getting built near them, I don't know, are coming off as villains. I get that there are four more parts, but is that how you see the rabble-rousing citizens of Yonkers back then, villains?
I do see, and we do give those people a chance to vocalize what their true fears were, and their fears were rooted in a historical reality, which was this. Housing policies in the 50s, 60s, and 70s stacked the poor. That helped to create intensely dysfunctional ghettos. They remembered the immediate past, and they said, we don't want that here. But the truth is, nobody was listening to the fact that what was being planned was, you know, when you drop only a few units into one neighborhood and a few units into another, and you actually try to do something that is desegregation without destabilizing neighborhoods, it works. And, you know, yes, Yonkers is no longer 80% white, but it's not supposed to be. The New York area is 44% people of color.
Now, before we wrapped, I also asked him if that was really the famous British actor Alfred Molina he has sitting up there on the Yonkers City Council.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, he is so much Hank Spallone at this point that, you know, if I can spin him off into a half hour show, you know, Hank Spallone mayor, he nailed it right down to the toothpick, didn't he?
David Simon, showrunner for the new HBO miniseries Show Me a Hero. You may also know his work on Homicide: Life on the Street, Tremé, The Wire, and back a few years as a crime reporter for the Baltimore Sun. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.